ಸಿಂಗಾಸ كلها
في كل
كل
شر
أن
أرجم
يوم
وفي
أرجم
ريوم
وفي شو
قطاع
شهر
فاير
يوم
ليل
درج
شهر
إلى
جسد
سمدر
وشن
يوم
ليل
Among the great bowmen, this guy will be as good as Arjuna. He will be as irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. But what? In the history, there are two Arjunas. One is Kartikeya Arjuna, the king of Kaihaya, and the other is the grandfather of Kaya. Both Arjunas are famous for their bowmanship, and the time friendship is foretold to be equal to both of them, particularly in fighting. A short description of the Pandava Arjuna is given below. Pandava Arjuna, the great hero of the Bhagavad Gita. He is the Kshatriya son of Maharaja Pandu. Queen Kunti Devi could call any one of the demigods, and thus she called Indra. And Arjuna was born by him. Arjuna is therefore a primary part of the heavenly king Indra. He was born in the month of Palguna, February and March. And therefore he is also called as Palguni. When he appeared as the son of Kunti, his future greatness was proclaimed by air messages, and all the important personalities from different parts of the universe, such as the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Adityas, the Rudras, the Vasus, the Nagas, the different rishis of importance, and the Apsaras, all attended the ceremony. The Apsaras pleased everyone by their heavenly dances and songs. Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna and the maternal uncle of Arjuna, sent his priest representative, Kashyapa, to purify Arjuna by all the prescribed samskaras or reformatory processes. His samskara of being given a name was performed in the presence of the rishi, residents of Satsyasringa. He married four wives, Draupadi, Subhadra, Chitrangada, and Uluki, and from whom he got four sons of the name Shruti Kirti, Abhimanyu, Babruvahana, and Iravata, respectively. During his student life, he was entrusted to study under the great professor Dronacharya, along with the other Pandavas and Gurus. But he excelled everyone by his studious intensity, and Dronacharya was especially attracted by his disciplinary affection. Dronacharya accepted him as a first great scholar and loved heartily to bestow upon him all the blessings of military science. He was so ardent a student that he used to practice bowmanship even at night. And for all these reasons, Professor Dronacharya was determined to make him the topmost bowman of the world. He passed very brilliantly the examination in piercing the target, and Dronacharya was very pleased. Royal families at Manipur and Tripura are descendants of Arjuna's son Babruvahana. Arjuna saved Dronacharya from the attack of a crocodile, and the Acharya, being pleased with him, rewarded him with a weapon of the name Brahma Akshiras. Maharaj Drupada was inimical towards Dronacharya, and thus, when he attacked the Acharya, Arjuna got him arrested and brought him before Dronacharya. He deceived the city of the name Ahichatra, belonging to Maharaj Drupada, and after taking it over, he gave it to Dronacharya. The confidential treatment of the weapon Brahmachiras was explained to Arjuna, and Dronacharya was promised to Arjuna that he would use the weapon if necessary when he, Dronacharya, personally became an enemy of Arjuna. By this, the Acharya forecast the future battle of Kurukshetra, in which Dronacharya was on the opposite side. Maharaj Drupada, also defeated by Arjuna on behalf of his professor Dronacharya, decided to hand over his daughter Draupadi to his fellow combatants. But he was disappointed when he heard the false news of Arjuna's death in the fire of a Shanak house introduced by Duryodhana. He therefore arranged for Draupadi's personal selection for a groom who could pierce the eye of a fish hanging on the ceiling. This trick was especially made because only Arjuna could do it, and he was successful in his desire to hand over the victory for the daughter to Arjuna. Arjuna's brothers were at that time living incognito under agreement with Duryodhana. And Arjuna and his brothers attended the meeting of Draupadi's selection in the dress of Brahmana. When all the Kshatriyas dressed, King assembled saw that the poor Brahmana had been garlanded with Draupadi for her lord. Sri Krishna disclosed his identity to Balaram. He met Ulupi in Haridwar and he was attracted by a girl belonging to the Nagaloka, and thus Yudhavan was born. Similarly, he met Sitrangada, a daughter of the king of Manipur, and thus Babuvana was born. Lord Sri Krishna made a plan to help Arjuna kidnap Subhadra, sister of Sri Krishna, because Baladeva was inclined to hand her over to Duryodhana. Yudhishthira also agreed to Sri Krishna, and thus Subhadra was taken by force by Arjuna and thus married to him. Subhadra son is Abhimanyu, the father of Parikshit Maharaj, the Kosamachyaya. Arjuna satisfied the fire god by setting fire to the Khandavana forest, and thus the fire god gave him one weapon. Indra was angry that the fire was set in the Khandavana forest, and thus Indra, assisted by all the demigods, began fighting with Arjuna for his great challenge. They were defeated by Arjuna, and Indra then returned to his heavenly kingdom. Arjuna also promised all protection to one Mayasura, and later presented him one valuable concept celebrated as the Devadatta. Similarly, he received many other valuable weapons from Indradev, which he was satisfied to see his cavalry. When Maharaj Yudhishthira was disappointed in defeating the king of Magadha, Jarasandha, it was Arjuna only who gave him Yudhishthira all kinds of assurances. And thus Arjuna, Bhima and Lord Krishna started for Magadha to kill Jarasandha. Then he went out to bring all other kings of the world under subjugation of the Pandavas. He was as usual, after the coronation of every emperor, he conquered the country named Kalinga and brought in subjugation King Bhagadatta. Then he travelled to the countries like Antagiri, Ulukapura and Modapura and brought under subjugation all the rulers. Sometimes he underwent three types of penances, and later on he was rewarded by Indradev. Lord Shiva also wanted to try the strength of Arjuna, and in the form of the aborigine, Lord Shiva met him. There was a great fight between the two, and at last Lord Shiva was satisfied with him and disclosed his identity. Arjuna prayed to the Lord in all humbleness, and the Lord, being pleased with him, presented him the Pashupata weapon. He acquired many other important weapons from different demigods. He received Dantastra from Yamaraj, Pashastra from Varuna, and Antardhanastra from Kuvera, the treasure of the heavenly kingdom. Indra wanted him to come to the heavenly kingdom, and in the Indraloka planet, beyond the moon planet. In that planet, he was cordially received by the local residents, and he was awarded reception in the heavenly parliament of Indradev. Then he met Indradev, who not only presented him with his Vajra weapon, but also taught him the military and physical sciences as used in the heavenly planet. In one sense, Indra is the real father of Arjuna, and therefore, indirectly, he wanted to entertain Arjuna with the famous society girl of heaven, Urvashi, the celebrated beauty. The society girls of heaven are lusty, and Urvashi was very eager to contact Arjuna, the strongest human being. She met him in his room and expressed her desire, but Arjuna sustained his unimpeachable character by closing his eyes before Urvashi, addressing her as mother of the Kuru dynasty, and placing her in the category of mother Kunti, Madri and Satyadevi, wife of Uttardev. Disappointed, Urvashi cursed Arjuna and left. In the heavenly planet, he also met the great celebrated ascetic Lomasa and prayed to him for the protection of Maharaj Yudhishthira. When his inimical cousin Duryodhana for under the clutches of the Gandharvas. He wanted to save him and requested the Gandharvas to release Duryodhana. But the Gandharvas refused, and thus he fought with them and got Duryodhana released. When all the Pandavas lived incognito, he presented himself in the court of King Virata as a eunuch and was employed as a musical teacher of Uttara, his future daughter-in-law, and was known in the Virata court as Brihannala. As Brihannala, he fought on behalf of Uttara, the son of Virata, and thus defeated the Kurus in the fight of incognito. His secret weapon, the state kept in the custody of so much peace, and he ordered Uttara to get them back. His identity and his brother's identity were later disclosed to Uttara. Dronacharya was informed of Arjuna's presence in the fight of the Kurus and the Virata. Later on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna killed many great generals like Karna and others. After the battle of Kurukshetra, he punished Kasathama, who had killed all the five sons of Draupadi. Then all the brothers went to Bhishma Devi. It is due to Arjuna only that the great philosophical discourses of the Bhagavad Gita were again spoken by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His wonderful acts on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are vividly described in the Mahabharata. Arjuna was defeated, however, by some Bhagavahana at Manipura and fell unconscious when Uruti saved him. After the disappearance of Lord Krishna, the message was brought by Arjuna to Manavadhitra. Again, Arjuna visited Dwaraka, and all the widow wives of Lord Krishna lamented before him. He took them all in the presence of Vasudeva and sanctified all of them. Later on, when Vasudeva passed away, he performed his funeral ceremony in the absence of Krishna. When Arjuna was taking all the wives of Krishna to Indraprastha, he was attacked on the way and he could not protect the lady in his custody. At last, advised by Vasudeva, all the brothers headed for Mahaprasthan. On the way, at the request of his brother, he gave up all his important weapons and utensils, and he dropped them all in water.
నమస్తే సరస్వతి గౌరవాన్ని ఈ విశేషమైన వారి పరిశాన్ని శ్రీకృష్ణ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవం సదుగా హరే కృష్ణ హరే
This verse is a continuation of the Brahmanas speaking about the future of Saint Parikshit. So when Maharaj Yudhishthira asked the Brahmanas assembled, he was anxious to know about the future of Maharaj Parikshit. So he was asking, will this child become a virtuous king? Will this child be able to protect Dharma? Will this child be able to satisfy Lord Krishna? Will he be able to establish Dharma in the kingdom? So that was the concern of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And in answer to that, the Brahmanas who assembled there predicted the future of child Parikshit. And today we discussed this verse. And also recently we celebrated the Shirobhoma of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So actually we are sitting here and discussing about Arjuna and Bhagavatam only because of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So I came across one statement in my Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Says, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one must give up the arrogance that he can advance by his own endeavors. Arrogance means I can do it by myself. I will chant, I will read, I will recite, I will learn something and become a devotee and a qualified Vaishnava of the natural. That is not our mood. Our mood is we are always dependent on the mercy of the acharyas. So every moment we should be grateful and begging for the mercy. So actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur play a very important role in the revival of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So at the end of the class, I will spend a few minutes discussing the glories of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Again, even to before starting, let us pray to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur so that he will bless us, so that he will advance in Krishna consciousness. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, Satchidananda Namine, Gaura Shakti Swarupaya, Rupanaga Varayate. So in this verse, the Brahmanas are giving the future prediction of self-prediction. So this is not that, it's not that the Brahmanas wanted to please Maharaj Yudhishthira. Okay, we want to please Maharaj Yudhishthira, so we will tell something good about this man. That's why the king is healthy and he will give a nice gift. So that is not the intention. Actually, these statements were out of accurate calculation. So actually, sometimes it is. I have one uncle. He is very fond of his little child, let me say. So we go and tell, uncle, he is totally not such a better guy. He will become something very good, very great. And every day he will become a master structure, he will become very happy. So I am telling you not of just to satisfy the father. I don't know what will become, whether he will become a good guy. Just I am getting a breakfast and some breakers to go on. I tell you, both will be better. That is a false thing. I am not calculated. But he has, they are not telling about my self-prediction, just to clean the result. So that if you had to, oh, my dad will become it. No. It is out of exact calculation. And this is possible by thorough study of Jyotish Shastra. And thorough study and that, and along with spiritual qualification. How accurate they are, I just mentioned one instance. How accurate the calculation, astrological calculation could be. So this is regarding the instance concerning Varaha Mihira. So this Varaha Mihira was one of the Navaratnas in the court of Vikramaditya. So he lived between the 1st century, in the 1st century of BC, 1st century BC, about 2000 years ago. So previously his name was Mihira, Miracharya, people would call him Miracharya. So one of the Navaratnas, 9 jewels in the court of Vikramaditya. And he was a Jyotish Shastri, who was predicting the future of his children. So then King Vikramaditya begot a child, son. He invited the Miracharya and asked him, could you please predict the future of my son? How great he would be, how great warrior he would become. Then Miracharya went through the horoscope and studied everything. Then he said, this child will be great, very opulent, very healthy. But there's one unpalatable or a sad event in this child's life. The king asked, what is that? Then Miracharya said, according to my calculation, this child, this prince, when you attain the age of 18, on a particular day, at a particular time, at 5 p.m., this child will die of an attack by a wild boar. Wild boar will come and kill this child. At the age of 18, on a particular specific day, this moment at 5 p.m. in India. This is the exact timing also. When this child will die of the attack of a boar. Then things become positive. Because you are quite successful. Whatever you said would come true. The king and others wanted to prove him wrong. So the king said, let me see how this will come through. I will fight against destiny. Then he added something very wonderful. For the prince, he took a huge fort, which was 80 feet tall. Huge fort. And there was a seven-story building, just for a child. And the child was all the time living on the seventh floor. He didn't even come to the sixth floor. Throughout his life, still 18 years. He didn't come to the floor floor. And the entire court and every palace, every nook and corner of the palace was manned by powerful soldiers. What is it called? A boar, not a rat could enter the family. There was such security, high security and very well established. The king attending the family came, so 5-10 years, the king again approached Miracharya. He had made such elaborate arrangement that not a rat could enter this palace. Do you want to reconsider your opinion on the death of his child? So Miracharya goes, I am not going to reconsider. I am very sure that this child will die. And there is a waiting on day at 5 p.m. He is anyway going to die. He is trying to die on that particular time. So there are again they got the intensified security. Nothing would happen. So all the time there are bodyguards around the child, like we were trained in boar fighting. They are trained. We will not let any boar leave. What is the of coming? Why is it going? So it happened. So the security was intensified and went gone. And then in between, there was a discussion. The king said, if you could prove your statement come true, then I will award you with the title of Varaha. Because Varaha was the emblem, the state emblem of Vikramaditya. Just like we have the emblem, national emblem, the four lions sitting in the Indian emblem, we have it. So like that, the Varaha, the boar form, was the emblem of this king, Vikramaditya. He said, if your children come through, I will give you the title of Varaha, I will make you Varaha Mudira. I will give you the title and give you huge amount of wealth and your children will spread all over. Then in reply to that, Meera said, all right, welcome, thank you. But if the my servant all comes false, if it doesn't happen, then take my word. I will never practice duties again. I will give up the kingdom, I will go to the forest, I will keep all my food and water, and I will practice austerity till the end of my life. So that was a very daring challenge. But, because it is quite unlikely, and it is practically impossible that the child will be born to be dead by any. So, and I found this was so much excitement in the demon. So what's happening, like, there is so much excitement. And on the beside day, the particular day, the child was 18 years, and then on that particular day, there was like super security. The child was all that, everyone went to bathroom, there were soldiers along with him. He could not do anything without the being watched over by all the soldiers. So then what happened, at that particular day, the king called for a court. And every hour, every half hour, report was sent to the king on the hand of the chair. The king at 2 p.m. It was like countdown, 2 p.m., 3 p.m. But see, the soldier came, the general came, and the king is perfect, the prince is perfect. There's nothing harm. Nothing came. There's no war, nothing like that. Then it came to 4 p.m., 4 p.m. So there is a lot of excitement. But everyone was excited, even the king was excited. But Varaha was completely in perfect calmness, perfect peace. Fully confused. At 4 o'clock again, the king again asked, do you want to reconsider the decision? There is no war, nothing. You are going to say, please reconsider. Give it back. I will cancel all the deal. He says, no, it is going to happen. Adam and Eve, the last day. Okay? Then something happened. At 5:30, after half an hour of the design, the general comes running in joy. Running in joy to the court. So the king, the prince is in full health. Prince is completely safe. And there was a lot of roar and did he say what happened? Did he say so much of roar was there? The king said, what happened? The prince is perfectly safe, nothing has happened. Then Vikramaditya addresses Meera, what happened? So now do you accept defeat? Then Meera sits in perfect calm and says, well, the prince is already dead, you can go and say, he is lying in the midst of blood. He said, at the time I predicted, the king has already dead half an hour before. Then everyone goes there and they search throughout the palace, all the seven floors they search, they could not find the prince. Then his friends give a clue that sometime before he wanted to go to the terrace, just to relax and get some fresh air. Then they all run to the terrace. And on the terrace, they see that the prince is lying in the middle of blood. Pierced by the hoof print and the tusk of a boar. This was completely unbelievable. They could not understand what happened. There was no news of any boar coming into the palace. Then later, the incident was narrated. What actually happened was that 4 p.m. The prince was feeling some uneasiness and was feeling uneasy. And he just wanted to relax. To relax, he went to the top floor, to the terrace, just to get some air and relax a bit. On the terrace, there was a cot. There was a huge cot made of gold and all that, a very, very opulent cot. And with a very, very soft mattress. And the king, the prince, out of pity, he lay down on the mattress, taking deep breath. And exactly, just near to the cot, there was a flagpole. Okay? And on top of the flagpole, there was this emblem of Vikramaditya. The emblem was Varaha, the form of a boar. So that it was a iron, kind of beady kind of thing. Iron emblem of Varaha. And what happened? And on the exact time that was predicted, there was a wild storm, very stormy wind. And due to the storm, the flag fell off. And when the flag fell off, the boar on top of the flag was let loose. And it came flying onto the chest of the priest. It struck the hoof prints of the boar, struck the chest and the stomach of the prince, and he's stuck. Rammed into the head of the prince, and thus the prince died out of attack of a bone. So this is how Achilles, after that, after this instance, the Mihirakarna was addressed as Varaha Mihira, and he famous wrote the history as famous Jyoti Shastra. The point mentioned here is, the Brahmanas are predicting what they are predicting is factual. It's not that, okay, he will become like Vajra, he will become like Swami, he will become Sri Maharaj, he will become like Yudhishthira, he will become Vishnu, he will become Kaitadeva. These are all factual. And we will see ahead that in the life of Parikshit Maharaj, all these qualities were exhibited. They didn't just bluff to change the king. Okay? In today's world, King Parikshit, a child Parikshit, is compared to the two Arjunas. How the great he will become a great bowman and a great warrior as the two Arjunas. And in the purpose, Srila Prabhupada describes in detail about the glories of Arjuna. How great he was, how great a warrior he was, what are the battles he fought, and the four wives he married, and so much of elaborate discussion is mentioned. And today we don't have so much time to go through the entire details. So today we will do a crash course on the life of Arjuna. Small crash course. So Arjuna was born to Indradev. So you know the boon of Durvasamani, so Kunti. Kuntidevi, when she was a small princess, she could please Durvasamani. And Durvasa gave her a benediction that whenever you want, you can call, he gave the mantras. With that, you can invite any of the devils and ask whatever you want. And after that, going by the history of Mahabharata, you see that again Pandava is cursed that if he begets a child, if he indulges with his wife, then he will immediately die because of the curse of the Brahmana. So because of that, he was not able to beget any children in the wife, in the womb of Kunti or Madri. So then at that time, Kunti reveals her past to Pandu. Then Pandu says, this is very good. So now can you invite the powerful devotees to get powerful sons? The first they invite Yamaraj, then there is Vayudev. Then at, on the third time, Kunti Devi invites King Indra, the king of heaven. And King Indra begets child Arjuna in the womb of Kunti Devi. That is how he was born. And after, I'll just keep the instances and focus only on the important point. Then, he was, immediately after that, it happened that Pandu died. Pandu died because of the curse. So when Pandu died, Kunti comes back to the palace with her five young children, helpless children. So then Kunti and her children, the same princes, are taken care of by the Kuru elders, Bhishma Deva and Dhritarashtra, all of them take care. And along with Kurus, they go to study under Dronacharya. And within, among the students of Dronacharya, Arjuna was the most brilliant. Most brilliant. And there was, whenever Dronacharya conducted any test, Arjuna was emerged there. There is one famous story that there was a parrot in the tree. So then, Dronacharya asked different disciples, okay, you name, let me see what you want to name. So you have different disciples. So what do you see? Somebody says, I see the whole tree. And somebody says, I see the fruit. And somebody says, I see the parrot, I see this. But then and Arjuna will ask, what did he say? I see the eye of the parrot, nothing else. So totally focused on the eye of the man. So that was his pattern. And everybody practiced at night. He could practice at night. So powerful, so many things. And then when the duo, so there was a controversy, there was a rivalry between Drupada and Dronacharya. Actually they both were classmates, they studied together. And then Dronacharya was very, very poor. He could not, he didn't have anything to eat. He goes to the palace of Drupada and asks for a cow. Do some charity. I was your friend, we studied together. We were blacksmiths and we studied. So please give us something. Then Drupada says, there will be friendship only among the equals. So there is no person of my friendship with you. You are so down the run and so such an opulent king. There is no friendship. So Drona comes back and he wants to avenge himself. So when the princess grows, he attacks Drupada with his students. At that time Arjuna conquered. Drupada arrests him and brings him before Dronacharya, and then Dronacharya gives him and so many things happen. That is one instance. Then after they grow, they go back to the palace and there was a lot of controversy to kill them as well as the kingdom will go to the Duryodhana mother and start spying a lot of human ages. Then they were put up in a wax palace, palace of wax, and that was set to fire. So somehow they dig a tunnel. Then they came out of that, then they survived. So after they survived, they heard of the Swayamvara of Draupadi. There was a Swayamvara. So there, actually it was kind of Drupada. He wanted to give his daughter Draupadi to Arjuna. And there was a set that there was a fish moving about very fastly on the terrace, and there was water on the, there was a pond on the floor. They have to see the pond and shoot. Shoot at the fish, and they have to kill the fish. Kill the fish. So many great things, they could not even get the bow, what to speak of, drinking it and killing the fish. Only two of them are able to do that. One was Karna, other one Arjuna. So when Karna tried to speak up, so he was discouraged by Draupadi. And then Arjuna takes up the bow and then he shoots, aims and kills the fish. And then he gives Draupadi. That's how Draupadi was won over. And then they bring her back to Indraprastha. Then the Pandavas were sent to Indraprastha. Actually it was a very cunning plan. The place that was given was all barren land. Dhritarashtra, he gave the palace to Duryodhana and he gave a barren land. Don't you want something like this land? Completely barren and useless place they were given. But even when they sent there, they made the entire Indraprastha, the barren land, into a huge palace, very attractive place. That's the quality. So they were given nothing actually, nothing. But they built a huge palace out of it. And after that, when they were living in Indraprastha, all the five Pandavas stayed, they were only wife, one wife, Draupadi. And there was an agreement that each year, one Pandava will stay with Draupadi. And during that year, that whole year, other Pandavas, other four Pandavas, should not interfere in their privacy. They should not interfere. Actually, it's one of the most mysterious points in the Mahabharata. So many people ask, how is that one woman could marry five men? How is that she married, she got married to five husbands? So they explain, the Draupadi, when she was a princess, she worshipped Lord Shiva five times, asking for a husband. So actually, people worship Lord Shiva to get a husband, they worship Lord Mother Durga to get a wife, they worship Lord Surya to get relief from illness, he was with Indra for rain and so many karma connectives. She was actually naturally, the young girls want to get a good husband, that is a natural desire. So she prayed to Lord Shiva to get good husband. So because she prayed five times, she got five husbands. And again, how is that one woman married five husbands? This mystery is very confidential mystery. It is revealed by Sripad Vajra Tirtha, the grand disciple of Madhvacharya, in his commentary on Mahabharata. There he said, just like the five Pandavas are the primary portions of the five Devatas. Namely, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dharmaraj, Vayudev, then Indra, then the two Kumaras, Ashwini Kumaras. They were the five gods, demigods, whose life is the five Pandavas. So when Draupadi came on earth to get married to them, Sripada Vajrasirtha explained that the plenary expansion of the concept of the respective deity of the demigods also lived in Draupadi. So at the same time, five chief persons were living within the form of Draupadi. Five concerts of the respective demigods. Not the point. So respective concerts were living in the form of within the form of Draupadi. So when Draupadi was living with Yudhishthira, that particular aspect of Draupadi, which was manifesting the concept of Dharmaraj, was manifest and she was living with that particular king, Yudhishthira. And when the tenure was finished, she again the form of the concept of Yudhishthira disappeared and the form of the concept of Vayudeva appeared. And again Mahabharata explains that after each year, after giving birth to one son from each of the Pandavas, she would again become a virgin before entering into the palace of the next Pandava. So that is a very confidential information, how things happen. So because you can't understand by your gross calculation. So then it happens that Draupadi was living with Yudhishthira that time, and there was a Brahmana he came to the palace, Sangha the palace, and said, some thieves, some rogues have stolen my house. Arjuna was brought in the palace. He said, some rogues have stolen. And what does the king mean? Is there no king to protect us? Is there no kshatriya to protect the brahmanas and the other classes of men? Then Arjuna thinks that now the reputation of Yudhishthira Maharaj is at stake. I must do something to rescue the reputation of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Although he knew that the place where the weapons are kept was the place where Yudhishthira Maharaj was sitting with Draupadi. If he enters, he will violate the condition and he will have to go on exile for 1 year. That is the condition. But out of the higher interest, to protect the reputation of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he still enters. And takes the bow and then pierces the ropes and then gets back the cows and all that. He said inside. But he is obliged to having brought up his responsible. He says that now I am going on exile. He wanted to go on exile. Although other Pandavas say he will not go because of the emergency, so many classic intents in the day. But he says, anyway, it's good. I will leave it. Then Arjuna sat on pilgrimage. So when he went to Pilgrim, he goes first, he goes northward. He goes to Haridwar. Many pilgrim places, many good places he goes. So he was taking bath in the Ganges in Haridwar. Suddenly he feels that he is pulled down into water. He gets pulled into the water of Ganges. And into the water of Ganges, he enters a palace, magnificent palace. He is sitting in a palace. So there he is seeing what's happening, where am I, he is completely bewildered what's happening. At that time, a beautiful girl enters the palace. She enters the circle. And Unuti, the daughter of the king of Nagas. So I wish to marry you. I wish to accept you as my husband. So because she approached Arjuna accepts her as his wife. And thus one son was born to them. Then he comes, and that time after the marriage of Unuti gives him a benediction, Arjuna. He says, from this day on, no aquatic animal, however ferocious, cannot harm you. No aquatic could do anything for you. So when he comes and goes ahead, some sadhus were being disturbed by some crocodiles in some lake where they could take bath. So that time Arjuna enters the waters and then brings the crocodiles and fights them and kills them. Then there was Akaras in previous life, they get liberated and all this happens. So then he comes to the eastern side. So he also goes to Nainikarane. From Nainikarane he goes to the king of Manipur. So there he sees a beautiful Chitrangada. So he wishes to get married to them. So he approaches the king, I want your daughter's hand. So but the king puts one condition. The king had only one issue, that was the daughter. The king had a son. So he said, okay, I will give my daughter to you in marriage, but if a son is born to my daughter, he will live with me, he will not come with me. I want the son, for, I want my grandson for continuation of my race. That's how Bhagavan was born, and he was saying, he didn't come along with Arjuna. He stayed back to rule Manipur. And then from there, he comes towards westward, towards Bharata. He comes to Dwaraka, then when he comes to the outskirts of Dwaraka, a message is sent to Lord Krishna, then your friend has come. Lord Krishna understands, gets the message and he goes outside the city to meet Arjuna. Then when they started discussing, so that then the discussion of Subhadra comes up, the topic of Subhadra comes up. So actually, from long time, Arjuna had heard of Subhadra from his another classmate, Gada, during their study. So she heard that this Gada was the cousin of Krishna. So he had described about the wonderful qualities and how gracious he was. So he had heard a lot about Subhadra. He wanted to marry Subhadra. Okay? Then Arjuna immediately comes to the point. And he says, without after his little formalities, comes to the point, how is Subhadra and all that, he comes to the point. Then Krishna actually, they discuss the whole point. Then the actual situation was Subhadra was the sister of Krishna and Balaram. We are clarifying Subhadra very. So Subhadra was the sister of Jagannath and Balaram, like Krishna and Balaram. Okay? And they took care of her so much, so they took care of, actually the younger sister is actually their daughter. So she's just like the daughter. So they took so much care of her that there was no complete comfort. And she was living in the palace of Balaram. Balaram was taking care of Subhadra, then who can dare to? Even look at Subhadra. So, and and she never came on the site. Not a single resident of Dwarka ever saw Guru Subhadra. She was never seen anywhere. She was never seen. She was never seen. What to speak of a film? Not even the local people could see. She would come up only on the ceremony. All night, she, no, nobody ever saw her. Only her. She was very, very protected within the palace of interesting plan to her, to Arjuna. Now, Krishna advises, actually, Baladev wanted to give Subhadra in marriage to Duryodhana. Actually, one thing interesting about Duryodhana is actually his previous name was Suryodhana. Su means auspicious. He says Sumitra, Sukanya, Subhoti, Subhana, all this. Su means auspicious. And he says Subhadra, Bhadra is my illusion. He's an auspicious. So the name Bhadra becomes two, auspicious Bhadra. That is species of illusion, that is auspicious illusion. That is called your Maya. Bhadra is by itself Maya, Mahamaya. When it becomes two, Subhadra, it becomes your Maya, that is auspicious illusion. So like his actual name was Suryodhana, but by his all virtuous qualities he was better called as Suryodhana. Okay? And Baladev was very much wanted to give her in marriage to Subhadra. And when Subhadra was approached, do you want to marry Duryodhana? She didn't want to have anything to do with Duryodhana. She was completely. And the whole kingdom of Dwaraka was against it. Such was the reputation of Duryodhana. So nobody wanted to give her. But Duryodhana, Baladev was Balarama's insistent. The reason is, Baladev, one name of Baladev is called Duryodhana. His name was Lord Duryodhana. He is the Lord of Duryodhana. Because he's the teacher of Duryodhana, he taught him how to play in his maze and all that. Duryodhana. So he had natural affection for Duryodhana. So for that reason he wanted to give her in marriage to Duryodhana. But nobody liked the idea. But still, because Balaram is saying it, there could not be anything about this. So he didn't like it. So then what happened? So Arjuna says, Krishna tells Arjuna, he cannot even see Subhadra if you come as a prince. So do one thing. He will enter Dwaraka as a sannyasi. So he's come as a sannyasi. Because, see, Krishna is the soul of Balaram. So Krishna was in another Balaram. So he knew what was the strength and of Balaram. So one point is Balaram, but he always gets public. So whenever sannyasi would visit Dwaraka, he would invite, Balaram would invite that sadhu sannyasi to his palace. And whenever the sannyasi would come to the palace of Baladev, he would have Subhadra serve that sannyasi. he desired that the sannyasi will bless my sister and will her future into glory. He would have her serve the sannyasi. So he had all conservative, close to the letter. Okay? Then Arjuna stayed out for some time, Krishna can come back. That's why Krishna is called Kapata Nataka Sutra Dhani. He is the director of all Dhamma. Nobody can beat him when it comes to conspiring and doing things like that. Okay? Then Arjuna enters. He said, as a sannyasi, goes long bed and matters there and sannyasi dress. He takes Sridanda. Comes and says, Sridanda Vaishnava sannyasi. One syllable is simple. The sannyasi Vaishnava carry Sridanda sannyasi. And the Mayavadi, impersonalist carry Ekadanda sannyasi. Ekadanda. So what is the difference? Sridanda. Ekadanda means I am one with you. Everything is Ekadanda. Everything is one. Okay? And Sridanda means with Karmana Manasa Vacha. If money, balls and body and world, I will serve the Supreme Lord. When sannyasi takes the vow, Vaishnava sannyasi takes the vow, he takes the vow that I will serve with my karmana, vacha, manasa. Isn't it? To the Supreme Lord. He dedicates everything. That is the reason we take Sridanda sannyasi. Vaishnava takes Sridanda sannyasi. But the Maya also takes Ekadanda sannyasi. So once in our Krishna Bhagavan Mandir in Vrindavan, so one Maya also used to come regularly. He would go and stand before Balaram and would take his staff and do like this, three times. 1, 2, 3, do like this. Some room you are saying, what is happening? What are you doing here? He says, I am taking Balaram that I am one with you. One. Then, Ekadanda means everything is wrong. But Arjuna enters as a Sridanda sannyasi into the palace. then it was no protection, because in the sanyasi, no need, same question. Brother, they would ask, where is the visa, where is the passport, what happened, where is your family, whose family you are, who is your father, this and that, it was perfect. She just allowed it, like a sanyasi. So the leader of the society. He enters now the, he is accommodated in the Brahmana colony, where the sanyasi themselves were living. He is accommodated, there was nice arrangement for them. And as expected, Balaram invites. They are now from Ishii. Balaram invites the sanyasi to his palace for looking, for treating him. Then when when Balaram, the sanyasi comes there, he will have Subhadra serve her. And then Subhadra serves, he was able to, first time, was able to, Arjuna was able to look at Subhadra. And he's impressed, and he wanted to, he desired to marry her, he wants to view more. But the same time, he's afraid of Balaram. One point, he's gone. He's afraid. So still they are cooking this for conspiracy, what to do and all that. But Subhadra, she could easily smell something fishy about the sanyasi. She said, this is not an ordinary sanyasi. The way he looked at Subhadra and everything was fishy. So then she speaks to Krishna, her mind. What is this, something strange about the sanyasi? So Krishna reveals, actually this is Arjuna, he has a desire to marry you. It's because of the fear of Balaram, he is not able to do anything about it. So then Subhadra, she is different than Krishna and everything goes fine. Then after some time, Krishna reveals his plan. You see, on the day of the marriage of Subhadra to Duryodhana, so Krishna tells Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra. He's a kidnapper. He comes, on that day, Subhadra would go to a temple before our marriage. He would go to the temple and offer the city. So then she would come with all the truth, and she would come to the temple. In that time, everybody was going to celebrate. Nobody is expecting the war, and they are going to the temple. So even the relaxed, even the Varga warriors, they will be relaxed. They are not expecting any war on them. At that time, they can just steal away Subhadra. You can steal and you can take it away. So as divine, as was planned, on the day of the marriage of Subhadra with Duryodhana, so she comes to the temple. And at that time, Duryodhana walks up to the palace and puts on his armor, takes the chariot of Krishna. Krishna gives his chariot of Krishna. That is, who can go really fast. And nobody can take him when he is going on the chariot. He puts on his armor and he comes to the place. Unnoticed. He immediately comes and puts his, this is a long story, but I am forgetting his thought. He comes before the Subhadra, and the moment seeing Arjuna, Subhadra's heart leaps in joy. So he came. Then he goes to the palace, chariot, and he just run away. And it happens in a matter of seconds, and nobody is aware what's happening. The moment they come to find this, they see that they are already, the princess is kidnapped. So completely unaware what's happening. Then Krishna becomes ferocious, becomes angry. Balaram becomes really angry. There is a Bhimma Pukla, Bhimma Maya, Sao, Silka, they go on up, there's only uproar throughout Varaka. He just wanted to finish. Then Baladeva says, oh, angry. I'll just wipe out this curse from the face of Varaka. I'll just finish the anger. I'm just really too much. So they are also angry. How dare he kidnap my sister? How dare he kidnap? Just get this work rid of. Rid of this Pandava. He becomes very angry. And then he calls for assembly. And he commands to all the warriors, all the great warriors, Pradyumna, Anirudha, shut down your army, bring your chariot, bring my sword, everything, everyone is like full of fire, and so much of heat there. But they see that Krishna is sitting in the perfect body. Everybody is hot, everybody is burning with desire to heat like this, in warm mood, but Krishna is just sitting and smiling. They wonder what is happening, what happened to him? Everyone is so angry. Is he not of the idea that his sister has been kidnapped? He is also the sister of Krishna. He goes to some really corrupted. And then Balaram approaches Krishna. Then what's wrong? We are all angry, we are preparing for battle, and they are sitting and sitting so far, quite wrong. At that time, nobody can speak to, when it comes to talking and convincing others, who can convince Krishna? Nobody is greater than Krishna. So at that time, Krishna again gives a small gap. And he says, Balaram, okay, I'll end that mental everything. He speaks unbelievable logic. So the entire hot assembly, everybody, like when you're really angry, nothing appears in the mind. That's when they fight in the army, the soldiers are taught, Batam Dharmana, like Jiman Khandarana, when they fight, battle. If the mind goes hot, then they can't perform. The body gets too warm because they have to fight. But the mind is very cool and they have to discriminate. Who is there? Because one small move, you are gone. If you make a small movement, you minimize the 3 inches, you're shot for death. You can't make any mistake. The mind is very cool. And when somebody is caught, they can't understand anything. They lose their intelligence. In the first part of the day, Krishna speaks the ultimate message. So that is it. Look, Gauji, another soldier. Look, what I'm going to say. Just listen to my message, then you can find. But if you want to fight, still you can fight. But let's hear what I'm telling you. He says, there are two things. Actually, what Arjuna did is not at all wrong. He's justifying the act of Arjuna. So how is that he's not wrong? He does. Actually, he has helped us in so many ways. He has saved us from so much of embarrassment. How is that? In the first place, if Arjuna were to come and marry Subhadra from the peaceful way, he would have brought gifts. Because to marry a prince, the king will bring a lot of gifts, give to the parents of the child, the girl, and then accept the girl. Okay? Then Balaram asked, then Krishna asked, do you want to sell your daughter, your dear daughter for some gift? Do you want to accept gifts and give her in return to the gift? No, the son. Who will sell his child for some gift? Okay? That is one instance. Then next logic. Then I said, if we were to give her in marriage to Arjuna itself, whoever you want to give, suppose you have to Duryodhana only, then you would have given a lot of gifts. You would have given a lot of gifts to Duryodhana, and then go on and marry. Then he said, do you want to sell her as a commodity? That you are giving gifts and allowing that you are giving the girl also? Is a commodity that you sell? You are a sister or daughter, sister, how can you sell her? And all that, Arjuna was a great warrior. He's a great unrivaled in the entire world. Nobody can beat him. He's such a warrior. He's so well behaved, well qualified. He's subservient to his brother. He never disobeys his brother. He's respectful to the elders. He glorifies Arjuna and then just he's fine. So what he did is that they all are cool again and they accept the marriage of Subhadra. Then again, the messenger comes and the dream to Krishna and Subhadra back. And another thing he does. Now that Arjuna, Subhadra is kidnapped by Arjuna, then anyway there is no question of any other prince accepting her. Actually, if you remember, that's what happens with Amba. Bhishma kidnapped Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. And Amba, she had desire to marry some other prince. So Amba says, I want to go back to that prince. So this was all that you go back. So when Bhishma takes Amba to the same prince, he says, I cannot marry you. Because he's already kidnapped by some other prince. So that's the another man. I cannot marry you. So there is no anyone else, no person of Subhadra marrying anyone else, because he has already been kidnapped. And interesting is, so these were the kinds of marriages in Kshatriya. Prabhupada speaks in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So these are typical Kshatriya marriages. There are Gandharva marriage, then there are Swayamvara, different types of Kshatriya marriages. And this was one of the most famous kind of and most adventurous marriage. The kidnapping of the prince. And there is actually an excitement for the Kshatriya. So many times, just to express your promise, you just kidnap the girl, take her by force, and on the way there will be huge fight. There is a lot of fight, and the parents or the brothers will chase them. You hear the story of Rukmini. How Rukmini was married, Krishna married with her. And the prince, the chasing, there is a lot of battle, and there is a lot of warfare, bloodshed and everything. And the aspiring husband, the prince, he defeats them all and kills them all, and at the end of the battle, he takes the blade and smears it on that. Four out of this thing, so still it follows, the woman wear red kumkum, it is a smear. And if the Kshatriya, if there is no water, then the marriage is considered somewhat incomplete. There is no fire and bloodshed and something like that. Something is missing there too. So these are the typical calendar of marriage of Kshatriya. So it happens when they are deep married and this and that. Then it goes like, after that, they can get caught. Another time. I feel very challenging. So then they go back. Actually, again, the princess, the girl, Krishna Balaram, after the marriage, they bring a lot of gifts to Pandavas, they give the gifts. Then after that, the Balaram goes back, and Krishna stays back with Krishna Arjuna for some time. Then they go strolling along the woods. So then they came across Pandavas forest. They agree personified. Comes and approaches Arjuna and Krishna and says, I am really sick of this dream. Because one thing was that he was doing heavy, a lot of sacrifices. And Arjuna had to eat so much ghee that he got some of it. He was not eating actually. I want something to eat, this greenery, and so that I will recover my health. Then he said, and later on I told him, he is called on for us, Indra is disrupted by Indra. Because one friend of Indra, Satak, what is that? What is his name? Takshaka, the snake was living inside him. So because of that, he could not reach for it. Then he said, please help me. Then Arjuna said, okay, go ahead, I will protect you. Then the Agni starts eating devil in the Kandava forest and there is Indra coming in. The rays were like blocks, like the log of the tree. The stem of the tree was huge, right? The one drop of Indra was like coming like columns. Indra's rain, heavy rain, heavy rain. But Arjuna just takes the whole umbrella over the entire forest, makes the umbrella and signifies there's a big fight and this and that, so much happens. Then Indra is impressed. Okay, now I'm defeated. So now he's impressed that he's also the son of Indra. He says, okay, I am pleased with you, now ask what you want. Then Arjuna asks, give me celestial weapons. Give me all the wonderful weapons. Then Indra says, okay, I'll give you, but when you come to my place, when you come to Amaravati, that is the capital of Indra, when you come there, I'll give all the weapons. Till then, I'll give them. Then he asks Krishna, okay, what do you want, Krishna? Then Krishna made an amazing request to Indra. So Krishna requires, what I want is, that my friendship with Arjuna last forever. His friendship with Arjuna, he wanted to be firm and deeper and deeper forever. That is the desire of Krishna. That is the essence of the quality of Krishna. So Arjuna was able to win the confidence. Krishna is longing to make friendship with Arjuna. Such was the quality of Arjuna. So then it happens then after that Hanuman forest, then there is a guys match, they are defeated, then go to the forest. They are during that time. Arjuna does a lot of suffering and he pleases Lord Shiva, gets weapons, then goes to Indra, then there he Indra gives a lot of weapons and he wants to please Arjuna by covering her Urushi to Indra. Then but Arjuna rejects Urushi. I cannot marry, you are equal to my mother. At that time Urushi becomes angry and curses Arjuna. He will become a eunuch for 1 year, that is a curse. Actually that the curse became a disguise in a blessing in disguise in the last year. So then there is then they go to the palace of Virata Mahal. And then there is a big fire. Actually what happened is the Kuru, after the death of Kiteka, Kiteka was killed by Bhima. So then he was a very powerful person. He was protecting Virata Kingdom. So when he was killed, the other enemies took advantage. Now that what is gone, we can easily take over Virata Kingdom. They come and follow, the entire Kuru follow. Then he becomes the chariot of Uttar Kumar. So, but Uttar Kumar becomes scared when he sees the huge army of the Kauravas and Jasmin. That's when Kannada Bhaya is saying that Uttar Kumar is a power of Uttar Kumar. Means the power of Uttar Kumar is only in the kitchen. So he was very boasting like this. And there were royal ladies who said, I'll just banish these Kauravas and all that. When he went to the battlefield and saw a powerful man, he started running back. So I cannot fight these swordsmen. Then Brahma, he sees him back and fights him all the time. So then there is the battle of Kurukshetra and all that. So here, I just wanted to mention the points which were very relevant to our devotion career. The most important point is of Arjuna. So there, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, the Prabhupada mentions that Bhagavad Gita is best understood by a person who has qualities similar to Arjuna. The person who has qualities like Arjuna, he can easily understand Bhagavad Gita. That is easy for him. So what are those qualities? The first quality is that he is surrendered to Krishna. He is surrendered. So when he is bewildered to the Kuru elders, he doesn't know, my father is there, my grandfather is there, my uncles are there, how can I kill them? He is bewildered and he surrendered. What is that? He surrendered to Krishna. He says, I don't understand, please, you protect me, you do, tell me what I should do. The next quality is that he is a devotee and friend of Krishna. So Krishna tells, Bhakto Teva Sakha Devi, Rahasam Hiya Tadutamam. I am telling this knowledge because you are my friend and my devotee. And third is, he is Anasuya, Prakshami Anasuya. The first verse of 9th chapter mentions, Lord Krishna tells, I am giving you most confidential knowledge because you are Anasuya. Anasuya means not anywhere. There are two kinds of persons. One is Abhishuya, another is Anasuya. Abhishuya means enemy of Krishna, Anasuya means non-enemy of Krishna. So Arjuna was non-enemy of Krishna. And then he makes submissive inquiry. He asks philosophical questions. is it kim the brahma kim madhyatma kim karma purushottama adi bhojanta kim prakta like this. He makes highly philosophical questions to Krishna. And one quality, another quality is that he is obeying the order of Krishna. He is actually proper says dharma means to abide by the will of God, to live by the will of God. That is dharma. There is nothing more higher than that. So after hearing the entire Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Nasto moha smriti labdhva. What is the next line? Nasto moha smriti labdhva tat prasada maya sita sitorasmi gata sandeha karishya uchinam sava. Now my doubts are gone, I am fixed in my knowledge, I will act according to your order. That is the quality of Arjuna. And now he was endowed with all wonderful qualities. Okay? So now I want to read up the 10 names of Arjuna, the different names by which he was called and which he was famous. The one name of Arjuna is Dhananjaya, because he conquered wealth from different kings. And second name is Vijaya. He never returned from battle without victory. He was always victorious in battle, Vijaya. Third name is Shvetavahana. He is the horse to ride, white steed. He is horse to ride. The chariot was known to Suryadeva by him. And his name is Falguni, as mentioned in the Parbat. He was born under Falguni Rashi constellation. He was Kiriti. Kiriti because Indraveya had given him a brilliant, brilliant crown, which he was wearing. He's called Kiriti. His name is Devatsu, because he was very dreadful and fearful to look at in the battlefield. Very ferocious. His name is Savitachi, because he is able to fight with both hands. So he can shoot arrows with right hand, open left hand, like this and like this. Both hands, other hands. Then his name is Vishnu. He is unapproachable and irresistible. Vishnu. And his name is Arjuna. Arjuna because he always performs deeds which are very pious. He always performs pious deeds, pious activities. That's why he is called as Arjuna. He is called Krishna. Krishna means he has the bodily constitution of Krishna. But here other than Krishna, three persons are called as Krishna. Three other persons. One is Arjuna, other is Draupadi, and third is Kalindi, Yamuna, Yamuna Devi. She is also called as Krishna, three persons. So because all the three are, if you see in Trivena Ganga, we can easily see. The Ganges is coming and the Yamuna is coming. Ganges has bluish color and the Yamuna has blackish color. You can easily make the difference. Yamuna is also called as Krishna. These are the qualities. And I will finish with that. There is a lot more to say. But there is also mentioned of another king, Kartikeya Arjuna. And the Prabhupada says in the purport, in another passage. So his description is given in Ramayana, just his description. He's a very powerful king. He's a high higher. And he has 1,000 arms, very powerful, powerful arms, 1,000. So then, he was a contemporary of Rama. So Rama went around conquering different kings he wanted to conquer. So then he comes to the kingdom of Ayodhya, he wanted to conquer. So then when he comes there, he sits on the bank of Narmada to offer his worship to Lord Shiva. And at the lower end of the stream, below the head of where Ravana was being worshipped, there was this cutting region of taking bath. So just to have fun and check his powers, he blocks the river of Narmada, puts his hands across. And the whole river becomes flooded and the previous person is all flooded. There's the water all over. The water gets spilled all over the bank. And this water wipes away the flowers of Ravana. And his altar is spoiled. He becomes angry. Who is doing this? Then he gets in the cutting region. Then he comes with anger to attack cutting region. And when he attacks Kartikeya, Kartikeya completely beats him up and arrests Ravana. It's so powerful. He arrests it. And then later Pulastra comes and requests, okay, release him and he kills him. So these are the qualities. And the most important quality is that Arjuna, Kartikeya, Arjuna, all these are all the great devotees of the Lord. So we should, what is the means? So we should accept the principles of surrender to Krishna. Okay? And just to end, I would like to discuss brief description of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So why? Because the Bhaktivinoda Thakur played a very important role in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. So after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he established the Gaudiya Parampara. Actually our Gaudiya Parampara was established by Srila Madhavendra Puri. So we are actually coming to Madhva line. So after Madhva line, when Madhavendra Puri takes initiation from Lakshmi Tirtha, isn't it? So he takes initiation from Lakshmi Pati Tirtha. From him, Madhavendra Puri accepts initiation. So before that, there was a worship of Radha Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri was the first person to establish the worship of Radha Krishna. So after that, Mahaprabhu comes at the disciple of Vishwarupuni and establishes the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he comes and he disappears from the cloud and so many acharyas. So there are they establish the credibility. They work so hard. They establish the credibility of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So there is a great debate that how to prove that your Sampradaya is one of it. So then many scholars, Ramananda, do you have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra? Do you Gaudiya have a commentary? Then at that time there is no commentary because the Jiva Goswami and other acharyas considered the Bhagavatam Sutra a natural commentary. Bhashayam Brahma Sutra now. Natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So they didn't bother to write another commentary. So but they had to establish. That's the validity of their position. They write another commentary and they also had to establish the authenticity and the bona fide, as a bona fide Sampradaya. Then after that so much happens and the time passes by. As time passes, the things also deteriorate. Okay? So at that time, after some time, in the early 80s, the people who are supposed to be following Gaudiya Sampradaya, they make a mess of Gaudiya Sampradaya. They spoil their reputation. So in the name of Gaudiya Sampradaya, they were eating fish. They were engaging in all sorts of illicit activities. There are Sanjaya war and this, all sorts of bad people. So much so that the people, the respected and the educated people, they have lost complete faith. Faith in Gaudiya Sampradaya. What is it about? They lost faith in Hinduism. And they were dropping Hinduism and accepting other faiths and their reputation was lost. So it was later. So the reputation of Gaudiya Sampradaya was at stake. So at that time, there were a lot of developments going on. There was Brahma Samaj was founded. Brahma Samaj. Led by Rajaram Mohan Rai and the grandfather of Rabindranath Tagore, the Dwarkadish Tagore and all the influential people in Bengal, they started this Brahma Samaj. So they were giving the essence of Vedanta Sutra and the mixed with Christianity, the teachings of Bible. So somehow to avoid the damage, further damage, they just pushing the movement. So it's not substantial what Mahaprabhu gave, it's even higher. So at that time, so Bhaktivinoda Tagore comes and sets the standard. He's a very high influential person, he's a magistrate and big government man. So that influence, he established that person. So one thing that struck me was, during this case, like now Prabhupada worked so hard to establish this movement. He worked so hard. And we should work towards progress or establish this Prabhupada. Our business is to expand Krishna consciousness. So we should be like ambitious businessmen, we should expand. And the point from this point, if you cannot expand, at least don't spoil it. So you should not make a mess. You should at least keep silent. Somebody else will come and do it. If you do something which is really, really bad and so someone, now that we are in Bangalore, there is so much bad reputation. It's called mistake. Because some people do some mistake, there will reputation loss. If you don't want to do, then get out of this moment. You don't want to do such people. Somebody else will come and do it. You should not spoil the reputation. That was happening when Mr. Thakur was there. He fights back and he establishes. So many, he writes literature, he's a great poet, he wrote many songs, like Sharanagati, Gitavali, Karthana, many books, like that. So one thing he did was, another interesting thing, he established, he's called Sapta Goswami, Sapta Goswami. Why? Because the sixth Goswami is what it is. They discovered the places of pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the places of pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our Buddhist town. So, and one of the important challenges was, to locate what is the exact birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur transfer and settles down in Mayapur, in Navadvip. Actually, now is on the Chalukya, other side of the bank. If you cross, if you go, you have two taka, then you go to the other side of the river, and then there is along the, just before going to Suryabhukun, it's on the way to Suryabhukun. So there is a palace, the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he wanted to locate what is the place where Mahaprabhu was actually born. And at that time, there was a lot of controversy on what exactly is the spot. So many people were contending that the birthplace of Mahaprabhu is on the other side of the other bank of the Ganges. They were contesting that Mahaprabhu was born on the western bank of the Ganges. Western bank. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a lot of research, he found that the scriptures mentioned that the birthplace of Mahaprabhu is on the eastern bank of River Ganges. It's on the eastern bank. So doubtful, you're skeptical, something is wrong with this. And one night something amazing happened. One night Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sitting on the terrace of the house, on the other bank of the other bank of Mayapur. So he was sitting there, and from that place, he could see that on the other bank of the opposite bank, that's the eastern bank, there was a beautiful palace, there was a beautiful city. From there, it was at night. there is a beautiful city, look at the brilliant light, lot of festivities, lot of people are chanting, dancing, lot of festivities in that city. There are lot of festivities. You could see a city, practical city, on the other side of the river. In the morning he comes, that there is no city access. There he locates, he finds that there is a mean tree in that place where he saw the city. And he inquires the local residents, what's happening, what is about this place, what is about this He jumped out of his basket and started dancing and started jumping 10 feet high. He becomes so ecstatic. The person who is not able to stand out will start jumping in ecstasy. That proves that this is the exact part of yoga kit, the exact purpose. He discovers. Then it becomes a legal case. The people file cases, the prison of the place, the other place, and the other. You will get a lot of cartloads of letters every day. Okay, example. Whole kind of loads, letters will come. And you will get all the letters. Put in that from after that, actually, this is the place of. Then it becomes a big thing. Then example story. He discovers the place of Mayapur. Actually, the word Mayapur, what is the word of that place? In terms of the Nava Dvipa? The Nava Dvipa is called Antar Dvipa. There are 9 Dvipas. So, this is the instrument that we call that. So, but actual name of the place is called Antardvip. And the place where Mahaprabhu was born, Lokapith, Mr. London. So why is it called Mayapur? So the Bhakti Thakur explains in his Navadvip Mahatmya that Lord Krishna says, Naham Prakashvarvati Yoga Maya Sahabhat, I will not begin. So those who go to Antardvip with a materialistic vision, throw the Maya, cover their vision. They don't have access to the Antardvip. So that's why it's called Mayapur. It's covered by Maya to those who are coming with a materialistic vision. So those who go with a purified vision, they actually see Mahaprabhu is passing away. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.